got them all tied up. First of all, bring you greetings from Jesse Neeland. He called, I talked to him today, talked to him today, and he sends you his greetings. I also had a call from Mike Brandt. Any of you know who Mike Brandt is? Some of you do. Some of you wish you didn't know. No, I just can. But he's the kind of guy that he can, what's the right way of saying? He can encourage you and challenge you, and actually he's scolding you, but it doesn't feel like it when he's done. Maybe if he's a loving man, but he does that. And he asked me a few things, how things were going. He calls about every other month to encourage and challenge me, I think. And he says, well, how are things going? I said, yeah, pretty good. And then he said, how are finances going? I said, well, pretty good. And he always asks, you know, how it is. And he always challenges us, those that are directors of departments, to be willing to share the need. And I have a hard time with that, being a Norwegian, and also being, I've always thought that you know, God's going to supply the need. I'll just pray to him. You know, there's a lot of different examples of that through life. But anyway, there's blue cards back there, a few of them. Most of all, usually what I use these for is for prayer. I think we talked about one time so far, but encourage you that I didn't leave any out. So there's some back there by the guest register. So if you're interested, also if you would like to be a donor, there is that opportunity there too. Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you for today. Thank you for tonight. Thank you for the privilege we have to come before you and to be honest before you, to lay out everything before you. And Lord, we pray tonight that you'd come and be honored and glorified through this evening. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I wonder, question I have for you tonight, why are you here? Some of you have been drugged by a spouse. Some of you have come for a youth event or to be with your youth worker, and he says, come in here, and he ties you up and brings you in here, right? I had pizza with them, and they enjoyed the pizza. I don't know if they enjoyed company, but it was fun to be with them. And I wonder, as we look at the passage that's up here tonight, do we really understand what that talks about? I think so often we put masks on and say we know what it says, but we really don't know what it says. I shared with you about a Sunday school teacher where my son said he wasn't real, and it took me about another 3 years to realize that he wasn't real. He had a mask on, pretending to be somebody he wasn't, being a spiritual leader in the church, not really having a living relationship with Jesus. Tonight, as we look at this one verse, I hope that we can open up and let the Word of God sink into our hearts so that we can take off our masks and be who we say we are. The verse says, therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Exciting verse. It's an exciting verse. No condemnation. No condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. But first, what is condemnation? So I thought, well, I better make sure I'm right on this. So I went and found some dictionaries, and this is what, it's a judicial term. It means punishment is going to happen. You have no hope of pardon or lessening of punishment. That's kind of tough, isn't it? Condemnation. If we are condemned, we have no hope. That's what the definition says. Therefore, standing before Jesus on Judgment Day, and Jesus saying, I never knew you. Depart into hell. That's what condemnation means. Why is it so great that those in Christ are free from condemnation? Well, it's kind of a dumb question, really, but without Jesus paying the price, we would end up spending eternity separated from Him. We would not have the opportunity for salvation. Another thing that we don't think so much of, but just the having no hope, being in hell, having no hope, being separated from God, and God is where the hope is at, okay? And we wouldn't have any of that. There'd be that eternal punishment. I'm going to have you guys look up some verses, okay? I want somebody to look up Matthew 13:42. Who will do that? Raise your hand, whoever do it. So we don't double up, okay? Sylvia does it. How about Luke 16:26? Who will read that? Okay, right here. Okay, when you find Matthew 13:42, will you read that? Well, Stan, read that. Read verse 41 also. That's really a tough one to read, but thank you for reading it. Think about that. It's something that's going to happen to those who do not have a living relationship with Jesus. So often, we're just concerned about ourselves, aren't we? We're not concerned about that other person that needs Jesus, that friend or somebody. And there's absolutely no hope of getting out of hell. And it's kind of interesting. The next one talks about a chasm fixed. Will you read that, please?
And besides all this, between us and you, a great chasm has been fixed, so that those who want to go from here to you cannot, nor can anyone cross over from there to us.
Okay, rich man and Lazarus, okay? There is no hope once we die, soon as at last breath of life, breath comes out of our body, the heart beats last, we are where we're going to be for eternity. There's a bunch of religious groups that say you can pray somebody out of hell or purgatory or whatever they call it. That's not true. Or you can be baptized for the dead. Not true. Okay? So, condemnation is something that we need to think about. Condemnation is something that you cannot bribe your way out of or work your way out of it. It is the very worst fate you can face. It is continual pain, guilt, anguish forever without a millisecond of a break. Think about that. That's what every single person who doesn't have a living relationship with Jesus is going to where they're going to spend eternity. Excuse me. We see the verse. Therefore, there is no, underline the word no or circle it, whatever, no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. What an exciting thing. What good news we have. You can go from no hope, of being condemned for eternity to no condemnation. A life, even a life on this side of eternity, of joy, of freedom, of assurance of spending eternity in heaven, no pain, no tears, no sorrow. Amazing. No guilt. A lot of difference. A lot of difference. This all happens. This all happens in a twinkling of an eye when we receive the gift of eternal life. Romans 6:23. Anybody know that one by heart? Yeah. Wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. We become totally, totally, totally clean in God's eyes. We are perfect in God's eyes when we come and repent of our sins to Jesus. We are totally wiped clean. But, excuse me, I got a frog tonight. There's always a but, huh? But there's a battle. There's a battle going on. There's going to be a battle going on. Will somebody read Ephesians 6, 10 through 12? Who'll do it? Hey, I'm going to pick on somebody. Pastor Tom, can you find it and read it? I can pick on some people. Yes, sir. Okay, talks about a battle there, isn't there? Who is a battle with? Devil is more than that, though, isn't there? It's more than the devil. Who else is it with? Our old nature, isn't it? The world, our old nature. There's that battle going on. It isn't easy to be a follower of Jesus. It's very difficult nowadays. But the reward is fantastic. And this battle will not end until we walk into heaven. I shared this, I think, last night, but I'm not with somebody. My mom was a very godly lady. She died in 1992, about December 8th or 9th of 1992. And I remember she was about 2 weeks before she died. I didn't realize she was going to be dying that soon. She asked me to come and give her communion. I was pastoring in a town about 60 miles away from where she was at. And so I went. And her pastor was being faithful, but she asked me to come there. So that's an honor. But I was really taken back. My mom, who the last, when she wasn't able to have her garden and put her dahlias in every year and things like that, her love was reading the Word and praying. And she said to me, as we were getting ready for communion, she says, "I'm not sure. I'm not sure if I'm ready." And you know, that just put a dagger in my heart. Because I thought of anybody, she was certain. That battle goes on until the day you die. I thought when I was young that when I get older, there's not going to be that much of a battle in our minds and hearts. But it's not true. It's a battle until the day we die. We have struggle. We have some kinds of things that keep pulling us back. Is there somebody here that's around 10 years old or so? Who's the closest to that? Who's closest to 10 years old? I don't want to... You 4 years old? 13. Will she come up here? Okay, come on up. I'll tell you stories about your dad when you come up here. I'd like you to put this on. Okay? Thank you. Okay, we're going to talk about sins today, and we're going to see how this weighs out. So what's this say? Do you know what it says? I probably spelled wrong, but what is it? Gossip. Not a big deal, is it? Gossip's not a big deal, is it? But it puts weight on us, doesn't it? It puts weight in us, and so it just adds up. Well, here's something that nobody thinks to see it's a bad deal. What does this say? Lies aren't a big deal, are they? Everybody lies, don't they? Just a little light lies, okay? Right? It's not very heavy yet, is it? No. It's pretty tough. Does anybody deal with bitterness? The sin of bitterness? That's what happens when we start getting hurt. I see people become bitter. Okay? Bitterness. Is it okay? Is that you still strong enough for that? Yeah, okay. Anybody have trouble with this one? You don't have to raise your hand. Pride. Anybody have trouble with pride? You can bow your nod your head to yourself, okay? How about lust? And this isn't only physical. This is, I remember when I was on the farm, I had yellow tractor and my neighbor had green. I always wanted his green tractor. Kind of lust. Really wanted it. Okay? Okay. You know, one of the things that we don't think much about is this one. Unbelief. Without faith, without believing, there's no salvation, is there? And I wonder if it happens even for us who say we're Christians, that we really don't believe what the scriptures say. In other words, we don't apply it to our lives. But it can be a problem with a sin. How's that? Would you like to walk around like that all day? You do in school anyway, I suppose, with books. But I mean, if that was a part of your life, you'd like to do that? No, I don't think so. Okay. What happens? We carry around these sins in our lives, don't we? And they weigh us down because we're too prideful to ask Jesus to take them away. But what happens when we repent? What would happen? It removes the whole thing, wouldn't it? Should we take this off? Okay, is that okay? Okay, thank you. You can sit down. It's lighter, right? Yeah, good. But that's what we do to ourselves. But the problem is, sometimes we lay them down, and then what do? We take them back again. We come before the altar. Sometimes the Lord is speaking to our hearts, and we're broken. We come and kneel, and we ask God to take away our pride or our bitterness or the lying, and maybe what I should have had up here too. Something I remember as a junior high kid I had a problem with language. I probably should have had one of those in there too. Because it's so easy to follow the world's way of speaking, isn't it? I don't care what age we are. It depends on who we're with. When we lay them down before Jesus, he desires to take them away and give us freedom. But like I said before, we lots of times take them back. And then we have people, a lot of people, say, well, God could never take away the problem, the sin in my life. Okay? He couldn't do it. I'm not good enough. God couldn't or won't give me peace. You know what the answer I have for that is? That's a lie from the pit of hell. God desires more than anything to take that sin out of your life and give you complete freedom every single moment of your life. What does the verse say? Do we believe what the verse says? There is no condemnation. Absolutely nothing between you and God when you've repented of your sin. For those who are walking with Jesus. Someone, one more verse to look up. This is an encouraging verse. Psalm 103:12. Who will read that? Okay. Okay, thank you. We can go to the east for our whole life and never hit west, right? Because there is no place where the two meet. North and south is different, but east and west. God, far as the east is from the west, so far has He taken away our sins, our transgressions. Again, we are perfectly clean. We are perfect in God's eyes. Not in the eyes of Jesus, because He sees our sin. Not in the eyes of our spouse or our parents or our children, because they know we're sinners. But in God's eyes, we are 100% clean. Right now, you are clean, just as clean as you would be in heaven when you're walking with Jesus. God desires to help you to live a guilt-free life. Like we talked before, easy? No. It's not easy. There's so many temptations out there. And I don't care whether we're teenagers or whether we're more mature with gray hair, there's temptations. We want to be liked. We want to have friends. But why do we want friends that are going to drag us, maybe slowly, away from Jesus and spend eternity in hell? Satan wants more than anything to have us spend eternity with him. That's his goal until Christ returns, is to snatch as many humans to spend eternity in hell with him. God desires to help you to live a guilt-free life. God's heart. You are worth the death of his only son. I want you to never forget that. Whether you're young or old, you are worth it in God's eyes. God is asking you today. God is asking you today, are you willing to give up the sins that you're struggling with? Maybe it's lust. Maybe it's pride. Maybe it's bitterness. Maybe it's lying. Or maybe we just don't know if we can believe Jesus or the Word of God. He says, come to me. Matthew 11:28, come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I'm gentle and humble. You'll find rest for your souls. Do you need rest tonight? Do you desire to live in victory? Do you desire to have peace, guilt-free? Every once in a while, God throws a curveball in my life. He reminds me of something I did when I was younger. And every time, he doesn't give up until I make it right in that going and asking for forgiveness. Maybe there's something tonight in your life that God is calling you to give up and to let him take over. We're going to invite people come to the altar tonight. come and pray, you're not going to be bothered if you come and pray. If you want to pray with somebody, we're going to have 2-3 people here in the front rows that you can come and pray with if you want to. But we're going to close in prayer, and we're going to ask those that do not want to stay and pray to go and have fellowship. And so let's pray. Lord, I pray that you would give us a desire tonight to live a guilt-free life. Help us, Jesus, to swallow our pride and to come and pray.